'cause this is Christmas Day.
To the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Wednesday. That means Wednesdays with the doctor himself, Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. Good morning to you, my friend. How you doing?
Good morning, Earl. Great to be with you.
Yeah, well, you know, I haven't forgotten you were in Arizona last week, soaking in all that warmth.
I'm actually flying out today, so I'm still there.
Come on, man.
it's 70. It's been 70s. It was actually 80s last week, but it's been 70s this week.
Well, are you complaining?
No, other than I keep getting lost on these hiking trails. I'm a hiker. These desert hikes, they're unmarked. A pair of Mormon teachers rescued me yesterday because I was running around in the dark, not being able to find the trailhead.
Wow. Let me ask you, Dr. Craig. There's this issue, as there always is in Madison, where the Republicans have clearly stated that to the Board of Regents, that if you guys don't do away with equity, diversion, and inclusion, which is happening nationally across this nation, by the way, taking away, you know, opportunities, equal opportunities in this country, and demanding that you take that away, or the educators aren't going to get an increase in their salaries, and you're not going to get what you're looking for with that engineering building in Madison, unless you do away with diversity, equity, and inclusion. It's akin to putting a gun to the head of people and demanding that you're going to do away with affirmative action issues. That's basically what this is about. And as I was stating earlier in the week, they did this to Milwaukee County and the city of Milwaukee in order to for them to be able to raise the sales tax. And so they've taken that away from the city and Milwaukee County, forced them to agree to that deal. And now they're doing it with UW-Madison. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, it's worthy of taking a step back and understanding what they are doing and what they're attacking and what it really is. I mean, it's a lot like critical race theory in that what they say it is not what it is, but it's politically useful to create a boogeyman and then to beat the drum on it so that people not pay attention to actual things that affect their lives, which they don't want to govern on. So all diversity, equity, inclusion is an attempt to address the diversity of our country. We know that there's a lot of stereotypes, a lot of bias, a lot of racism, homophobia, ethnic kind of and religious bigotries out there. And it's particularly tumultuous for young people who first time away from home, right? Often even privileged white kids fail to thrive in college, right? And crash and burn. It's a very emotionally sensitive time. And all it's doing really is trying to make sure we can understand each other and love each other and work together and understand our common humanity and to work through any issues that the kids may have brought in the door based on where they grew up and how they were socialized. And we know that a university is far more effective when it's very diverse, that education is better that way. It prepares kids to be more successful, right? You're more successful if you can work with everyone, not just people in your group, even if you're a majority. And so it's a huge value, and it also attracts minority kids of every kind of minority if you have it, because they feel more comfortable that they're going to be, their needs can be addressed, and if they have an issue, there's somewhere to go. So if we want to, we'll look at numbers and say UW-Madison is not diverse enough in terms of domestic students. A lot of its diversity is international, right? That's going to get worse if we don't have diversity, equity, inclusion. And so it is simply an evolution, a modern evolution of what a university's always done to take care of kids and help develop them and help educate them. Now, of course, what they say about it, there's no resemblance to that, because their theory is to find cultural wedge issues, cultural war issues they can make up, and then get people all excited and upset about on their side, so that they will vote for them, so they will not pay attention, say, to the fact that this legislature has taken no action on skyrocketing healthcare costs, no action on the climate crisis, where we have a looming deadline in 6 years to cut greenhouse emissions in half, or we're going to have runaway climate change, the child care crisis, underfunding of public education. I go on and on, Earl. So this is sort of wave the red cape, lie to people in a situation where people can't distinguish facts anymore, because there's been so much lying by conservatives and by the corporate elite and disinformation, and win elections that way. And then, of course, you pointed out, Earl, really critically, being willing, and they're doing this at the national level right now with Ukrainian aid, to absolutely use every single ounce of their power, and being willing to cut in raw terms and in terms of dollar amount the UW system, when our investments in that system over the decades that they stopped making is one of the things that made this such a prosperous, attractive state up until now, up until they started governing with their gerrymandered legislature.
You know, Dr. Craig, it is, you brought up the issue with Ukraine, and you watched that, and you just wonder, these people who are in charge of the Republican Party, it is clear, you know, who they are and what they are and what their goals are. And they clearly are not, Dr. Craig, in line with something that they are looking to do to benefit the average citizen. It's just not. And so, yeah, you're right. They're looking for boogeymen. And so what they get by selling the boogeyman is they get their hands on the treasure, right? I mean, they control everything, and then those things don't benefit the very people who seem to think that these people are fighting for them.
Right. A university system benefits them. They manage to kind of get it both ways, because a lot of people who want to send their kids to UW-Madison or the other great UW schools, right, also will vote for them on this issue, can hold both thoughts for some reason that a world-class college education is critical, and somehow we don't need to fund it, because that's the Republican message. But then there's a willingness to hostage take, to break government. When you don't care about government operating in the public interest, you can just break it, right? You can just crash the national debt by not paying the bills Congress has already passed, for example. You can hold up just decent pay raises at the UW system when our UW system employees have been falling behind other universities, and a lot of our professors and instructors are being poached by other states. States like Georgia and Florida that are investing, these are red states, red governed states, in their university systems, and that harms Wisconsin, right? We're putting away the legacy, but it is also about a politics that wants to not think about governing, not thinking about how democracy works, and to find emotional things that they can trump up, lie about, and get people to think about instead. And here we are, Earl, talking about diversity, equity, inclusion programs and not talking about all the things the
right.
Do Nothing legislature hasn't done. Do nothing on any issue that matters to average people.
Let's do this. Let's go to Jim from Eaton. Good morning to you, Jim. You say what?
Yes, good morning, Earl. Yeah, thank you. I just wanted to bring up that Dr. Benita Love, you know, a well-known, you know, speaker throughout the United States, you know, has spoken many times in Wisconsin, and just recently at the, you know, Wisconsin Public School Teacher Professional Days, and she clearly says, I'm an advocate of CRT, and that the problems, you know, with today's society is white rage, and there, you know, that's what we're going by. People who actually are speaking at these teachers' conventions and at the UW Madison, you know, that's what we're talking about, not made up stuff. But she's actually a real person.
Well, so you know, I mean, critical race theory is not happening in the schools. It's just not.
Well, I want to ask the caller, has he read any actual critical race theory? Did he just read some kind of cherry-picked quotes about from the speaker he just mentioned online, or has he read her works or any other works that are CRT? Earl's right, it's not in elementary and secondary schools, but let me just ask about CRT. Where does the caller get their information about what this person is saying and what their overall message is?
Well, he's gone, Dr. Craig. And so hold the thought, you know, we got to take a hiatus. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation, 844-967-2789. One of my favorite hours of the week is always Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. We'll return. Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. We're talking about, you know, the fact that, you know, Republicans have kind of doing what they've been doing for such a long time in putting these constraints on, you know, the legislature and, I mean, on different cities and the state about what they must do. Never mind whether or not it's sensical or not, but this is what they're doing. Dr. Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, is on the line. Let's go back to Jim from Eaton. He wants to respond to you, Dr. Craig. Go ahead, Jim. It's up to you.
Oh, I'm back on?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, thank you. Because my phone had just dropped, and
I
didn't hang up.
All right, go ahead.
Okay. He was just wondering, Dr. Craig, you were wondering, you know, where I got that information. There were people that were part of a virtual, you know, it was a professional day of teachers and administrators, and there were people a part of this professional day that shared this information. You know, that's how I got it. But so, have you ever heard of Dr. Love?
Well, but hold on. Let me say this before Dr. Craig responds. I spent 12 years in Milwaukee Public Schools. People may be nauseated by that, but I never once saw any teacher teaching critical race theory. And so that's why when I hear people say those things, I just shake my head, because they certainly couldn't have gotten it from seeing it being done with their own eyes. They can only go by what somebody said. Dr. Craig, you want to respond?
The caller asked if I'm familiar with Dr. Love. I am not, and I'm not even familiar that she is considered a critical race theorist. The caller did, and I thank him for doing that, concede he heard this secondhand, that people heard her say this. And it sounds like it's snippets. And it's very easy when anyone's talking about race or, say, anti-Semitism, Islamophobia, homophobia, anything like that, to take things out of context, right? So I want to say that I don't know what Dr. Love's message is. I'll point out, according to the caller, this was presented by the Department of Public Instruction to K through 12 teachers. So it has nothing to do with the university blocking of UW system pay raises, right? Dr.
Right.
Love was not doing anything on those campuses. But I'll just say I've read a number of critical race theorists. So I'll just give you one example, Earl, so people understand what's being taught at advanced levels in graduate school and what is being lied about and what isn't even in our schools. Derek Bell, one of the co-founders of critical race theory, he was a brilliant black lawyer, but he came up in the 40s in very racist time, and he was the top of his class at University of Pittsburgh Law School and still couldn't get a job at any of the major law firms in Pittsburgh or Philadelphia. And his rather stunned professors got him a job in the Office of Civil Rights, the emerging office in the Department of Justice, that ended up trying to enforce Brown versus Board of Education. So he went through 20 years of trying to enforce Brown v. Board as a litigator and running into the incredible racist upsurge of local parents in states who were terrified of being in integrated schools. These were white parents. And he came to develop the view, based on his life experience and what he dealt with in these communities, that racism was incredibly entrenched and deep, and that public policy had to take it into account in order to create equity. And it wasn't doing that the Brown v. Board of Education attempt to force integration the way it did wasn't workable because of the depth of white racism. And he offered other ways to try to achieve true economic and social equity. That is all critical race theory is. That's based on a serious understanding by a brilliant man of what actually happened when we tried to create a just society. And we now have more segregated schools than we did when Brown was decided, but it's done in a different way. It's done with white people with more money because of structural racism, living in far out suburbs, not having to contribute to urban schools and kids who are black and brown being concentrated in less funded urban districts like Milwaukee Public Schools that you mentioned, Earl. So I see nothing wrong. Maybe conservatives don't want to hear what someone like Derek Bell has to say. He's not being taught in high school or elementary school or kindergarten. And this is exceedingly legitimate things that anyone interested in understanding the world should want to know about.
So, Dr. Craig, I want to move to electors, the fake electors, and how some are being, paying a price and others aren't. And it just so happens we live in the state where fake electors are getting a pass. Let's talk a little bit about fake electors for people who may not understand. Did we lose Dr. Craig?
Oh, I hear you now. You cut
okay.
out for a second.
Oh, yeah. I was talking about fake electors and how in some places across the state they have been removed from their positions, but we live in a state where they have not removed them. I want you to talk a little bit about what fake electors are and what took place and why it's an issue.
Yeah, we've had recent news about the fake electors. They were a number of them settled a civil suit and admitted that what they did was illegal and was an attempt to steal the election and claim they were misled by the Trump campaign and the Trump administration in order to get out of economic liability for what they did. It was a civil suit, not a criminal court case. And so what happened is this Kenneth Cheeseborough character, a lawyer in Wisconsin, came up with this notion that you would send fake electors, we'll call them what they were, from the battleground states, including Wisconsin, They try to copy what actual electors did, who were taking action based on how voters decided an election in each state, and you'd send them to Washington so that if Vice President Pence had gone along with what Trump was demanding, they could have turned to those electors and elected Trump, because there would have been alternative slates. It was a legal conspiracy, and the insurrectionary conspiracy that Trump is being prosecuted for, it was part and parcel of it. And so these electors were part of that conspiracy. And there were about eight of them, I believe,
yes,
in Wisconsin. One of them is on the Wisconsin Election Commission.
Bob Spindell.
Mr. Spindell.
Yes.
And our Secretary of State, to her great credit, Ms. Godlewski, Sarah Godlewski, has called for his resignation and removal, which is only appropriate.
Dr. Craig, hold that thought.
Dr. Craig, hold that thought.
844-967-2789. My guest is Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. Your thoughts, as always, we accept your calls. Don't touch that dial. We'll return shortly. At 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. My guest is Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. Dr. Craig, before we went to break, you were explaining what these electors were and the fact that it doesn't surprise me that the state of Wisconsin has chosen to allow people who participated in this scam to still be in the running to do these things. You're talking about Bob Spindell. Let's talk a little bit about that before we went to break.
It's amazing, and it shows the hypocrisy of the modern Republican Party, this kind of right-wing nationalist, I don't really think you can call it conservatism, where they'll stop at nothing, right, to get power. You see the number of state legislators and state representatives who will not admit that, and Congress people on the Republican side will not admit that President Biden was fairly elected, even though the voting fraud claims of former President Trump have been totally discredited, and discredited by every court, including Trump-appointed judges, for that matter, and how they're perfectly happy to have an election denier who was involved in fraud. Remember, the electors, they actually signed official documents and had them notarized. Why this is not fraud, and I will say this as far as Democrats not having the will, some of them, in order to take on this kind of conspiracy, it's clear fraud under Wisconsin law, and unlike other attorney generals, our attorney general, Josh Call, is not prosecuted, as far as we can tell. These fake electors, which I do not understand, because others are prosecuted for petty crimes all the time because they have less privilege, right?
Yes.
You know, just someone writes a bad check because they're desperate, and to support their family, and they throw the book at them. But then we let these privileged fake electors sit on the Wisconsin Election Commission. By the way, they drove off other electors who were more reasonable and actually wanted democracy to function and wouldn't admit these are Republican appointees that the election was stolen. Not make that lie claim. I mean, you got a lot of that. You got a new House Speaker, Earl, Mr. Johnson, who attacked the impeachment of Trump because you shouldn't have one-party impeachment, he said over and over again, is now going to have a one-party impeachment of Biden with no evidence whatsoever of Biden himself committing impeachable offenses. His son, whatever you believe about the charges, is not an elected official at all, does not work for this administration, right, at all. So you have that level of hypocrisy. He also, this speaker, was one of those who claimed we should only have single-issue bills, but now he is connecting aid to Ukraine with their radical demands that we militarize the border and deny basic human international rights to refugees, which is, you know, an affront to the entire history of this country, because a lot of these international rights were U.S. played a leading role in creating them after World War II, for God's sake. Now we want to shred them. And the fake electors are just part and parcel of hypocrisy. The position they take is only what is the most advantageous to gain and hold power and to justify their position at a given time, and it's subject to dramatic revision.
Dr. Craig, hang on a second. Let's go to Tom from L.A. Good morning to you, Tom. You say what?
Good morning, Earl. Good morning, Dr. Craig. First off, we the people ultimately are the government. We must never forget that. I just want to say I think it's absolutely sad. You know, we're supposed to be a self-governing, you know, democracy. And, you know, you have someone that called up as an example, and I feel sorry for him because apparently he was buffooned by a Dr. Love or, you know, something like that. There's so much misinformation out there. And we have to, like, clear up that misinformation. But by the time we clear up the misinformation, they've already thrown 12 other things on, you know, thrown at the wall. And it's just, I don't know how we're going to survive as a democracy with all of this ability to lie or take an anecdote of one thing. And, Dr. Craig, I'm just asking you, what do you think it's going to take? Because information is supposed to be power, but when it's false information that they're always throwing out there, and I always say if the Republicans are spewing it, they're doing it. I just don't see that same thing on the Democratic side, that we're constantly, you know, bold-faced lying about things that are going on. And I mean, maybe I live in my bubble. I don't know, but it doesn't seem to me like, you know, I want us all. Like I said, I want us all to be we the people are the government. I want us all to be able to share ideas. And I want us all to be able to come up with, you know, solutions for the working people in this country. But I don't know. Like I said, that guy who called in and said all this about CRT and stuff, that's not even true.
And you know, Tom, so, he's not a bad guy. But thank you very much for the call. Go ahead, Dr. Craig.
Yeah. I agree, Tom. It's very difficult once you've destroyed trust to rebuild it, especially when you have a party that is dedicated to preventing our democracy from working, and therefore people become more cynical about it, right? There's a feedback loop there, a negative one. We just have to recall that the war on facts started with the big corporations, the greedy ones that are behind funding a lot of this infrastructure, who are going to give hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars to elect people like Donald Trump and the people further down the food chain, because they needed to engage in a war on facts in order to protect profit. They had to deny that cigarettes cause cancer, that fossil fuels and carbon emissions change the climate, that lead paint is dangerous, all of those things, that polluting in water and the air kills people. And that's where the disinformation started, and it's metastasized. I think you cannot answer it by just further discredit democracy in the system if Democrats were to lie the same way. Though I will say, let's not give them too much credit. They certainly shade things, right, in the traditional political way, you know, politicians taking credit for things they didn't really do, for economic conditions they had nothing to do with, etc. That's going on, that standard politics, which I don't love either. I'd rather people, I like my elected officials who are straight up with the people about the challenges we face and what would resolve them. But it's not just bold-faced lying and about facing your position whenever convenient. I'm against one-party impeachment until I find it useful, then I'm for it, right? I'm for Member Mitch McConnell, Earl. I don't think you should appoint any Supreme Court justices within the last year before presidential election until they are. And we shouldn't impeach, another argument of our speaker, because we should let the election decide when we're close to election, unless we want to get an impeachment on the record, because Donald Trump demands that Biden be impeached as well so that he can suffer what Trump suffered for actually committing impeachable offenses. We don't know what... We don't even know what impeachable offenses Biden is supposed to have committed. It's so bad.
Let's go to David from San Francisco. Good morning to you, David. You say what, sir?
Oh, morning, Earl, and your guest. You're talking about Robert Spindell, I guess, right? Specifically?
No, we're talking about the fake electors, but yeah, you can talk about it.
Yeah, well, out here in San Francisco, we've been able to get rid of a bunch of really crooked politicians by just exposing them and using market forces. So in other words, whatever Spindell or the other investments, the other fake electors' investments, start targeting those portfolios. If this jackass is invested in some company, start boycotting that company. Have that company shuck him. We went through, in 17 years, we got rid of 9 police chiefs who were corrupt. We've gotten rid of any number of corrupt politicians who are, basically pretending to be, some fiscal conservatives or something like that, when in fact they were nothing more than organized crime. And when you start looking at the ability to steal an election, maybe an easy one is to get a local journalist to ask Spindell or these other fake electors if they apologize. Just see if there's any contrition for what they have done, or whether they would continue on it. And if they're not apologizing, then get the local county district attorneys.
But you know what, David?
The state attorney.
In this instance, apologies are unacceptable. What they attempted to do was far beyond anything that you can accept their apology. And even if you did accept their apology, it would mean, don't let the door, hit you where the good Lord split you. They would certainly. Dr. Craig, you want to respond to David?
You don't have in the West Coast is the gerrymandered districts, because I think local media, despite the fact that we have less of it than we used to, has exposed more than enough on Bob Spindell to have him removed from office. But when you have gerrymandered districts and a legislature doesn't represent the people, and most of the legislators are invulnerable to removal, then they can do whatever they want for power interests. In other words, their approach to politics, their ideology, depends upon them not actually facing electoral accountability. And so that's the difference, unfortunately. But I agree with him in that we need to discredit these people, though we need to be very careful, because they're saying crazy made up things about people like President Biden, right? And so a lot of people are just going to take this as pox on both houses, right? Both are saying really bad things about the other and not really having the time or inclination or being able to tell on social media, for God's sake, to determine the difference between truth and fiction. I mean, the whole concept of representative democracy was based on the idea that the better argument will ultimately win out, right? And that's really hard in a system based on abject propaganda like we have now, as opposed to real information voters can rely on.
Dr. Craig, we've got to take a short hiatus. 844-967-2789 is clearly the number. You can join us on the other side.
Beyond them by far, to the earth it gave great light, and so it continued both day and the night.
Join us at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. Let's go to the phone lines, and Michelle. Good morning to you, Michelle. You say what?
Really love the station. Love listening to it. I sure wish you'd go back to having it run digital, saying what the name of the song is. Thanks.
Oh, okay. Oh, you wanted to know what names of the songs are. Okay. Good. That's what she called for?
You were doing that. That was great.
Oh, okay. Anything else?
No. Just hope you can get back to doing that.
We'll check it out. But thank you very much for the call. Thank you for listening. Tell somebody about us. So, Dr. Craig. In the twinkling of an eye, we're in 2024. All of these things are happening around us. Ukraine, Israel, and Gaza, the border, you know, the Donald Trump candidate to become the president of the United States once again, with all the baggage that he has, man, where do we begin?
Well, part of where we begin is the local level and the state level, Earl. But of course, you know, Wisconsin's one of the handful of states, about seven states, that decide who's president. So we have greater responsibility. I don't think this is just, actually, than the much greater number of Americans who live in places like New York and California, Pennsylvania, Illinois. And that's not fair, but that's how it's set up. So we have even more responsibility to be informed and to be engaged. And I think we need to push candidates to do better. Not only do we need to volunteer as much as possible for candidates, including local candidates in the spring elections, because that interaction with voters helps prepare them for the general election, gets us better leadership at the local level, and creates the kind of the farm team, Earl. Brewers are good at farm teams, right? The farm
yes.
team for future leaders at the state and national level. So we need to invest in the farm team like the Brewers have. But then we need to push candidates to be sharp, those who are pro-democracy. There is no penalty for saying that the election was not stolen, and my opponent won't concede that. He claims that the election might be stolen because there is no voter who's going to vote against you on that who could possibly vote for you. In other words, the vast majority of independents and Democrats and a lot of Republicans agree that the election was won fair and square and it was all a lie. So you need to be sharp there. You need to be sharp on positive issues. Do you want to force pharmaceutical companies to only charge a fair price with reasonable profit for medications, or continue to allow them to essentially swindle us with their government-created monopoly, yes or no? Do you support controlling the excesses of the health insurance companies? Do you support making our utilities actually convert to renewable energy rather than holding on to coal plants and the fossil fuel infrastructure, or building new fossil fuel infrastructure because they find it profitable? Because they're Fortune 500 companies.
You know, Dr. Craig, everything,
be sharp and be clear.
Everything you said impacts and affects our day-to-day lives, whether you're in Richland Center or whether you're in Milwaukee, right? I mean, it does not matter, or whether you're in Waukesha. Those things you just mentioned are part and partial to our quality of life and what our futures are going to be. Is it safe to say that?
Yeah, and if we have fair maps, we're underfunding public education. Schools are being
shutting down
around
right.
the state. Teachers laid off. And we are overfunding and massively putting money into private voucher schools. And you know what? That deal is not popular among Republican voters, okay? There is no downside to being very sharp on it. But we kind of get these soft-edge candidates who just want to say they believe in education, the apple pie. Be very specific and be very specific of what your opponent supports and doesn't support. You're going to have a whole raft with fairer maps, which we're likely to get some kind of fairer map out of this new Supreme Court. Suddenly, a whole bunch of people who've never had to actually be in a competitive election go defend their records. So we need to be, voters need to ask them sharp questions. The candidates they're running against need to be much sharper. Just this kind of blathering, kind of glittering generalities won't cut it anymore.
You know,
okay?
Dr.
You
Craig,
need to create clear choices.
If I'm to garner anything from what you just said over the last 5 minutes, it's, you know, you if you're going to eat an apple, you have to do it one bite at a time. You can't look at the whole apple, you know, and the issues that are happening globally or nationally. You've got to start at home. Is that safe to say?
Yes, rebuild democracy voter by voter and step by step. And that's a great adage. Parables and adages help us understand things, Earl, and you're good at them. So, yes,
Dr.
So we
Craig,
need to start doing it. We can't solve the whole problem all at once with a basketball.
Dr. Craig, my friend, love having you on. Love your perspective. After all these years, you get better and better all the time. Really appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Earl.
Have a safe flight.
Back to the cold.
Yes, sir. Have a safe flight, and we'll talk soon. Thank everybody who made the show go. Thank you, Kevin, as always. You know, up next, Jane Medinier and Greg Bach, and As Goes Wisconsin. All right. Can I get an applause for that? I got it right. Okay. See everybody later.
Merry Christmas. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas. Feliz Navidad.